We continue our study in 2 Timothy. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, or actually chapter 3. I think it's very helpful to keep in mind that Paul has given us his last words before, you know, he leaves, right, before he's departed and martyred. So it's very, very important. Now, what Paul realized is the same thing that George Washington realized, that when he became the first president, he realized he was setting a pattern, that, you know, that people are going to look towards him, presidents after him, exactly what the pattern is. It's one of the reasons why he ended up only doing two terms. I wanted to do another term. He said, no, you know, two is enough. And one of the things that he was concerned, there was two things that Washington was very concerned about. One was that this would just become a different type of kingship, you know, that, you know, once elected, you keep getting reelected and reelected, reelected. The second thing he was concerned about is divisions, and of course, that happened right away, right? immediately, you know, had divisions, you know. Well, Paul is concerned that he was very aware that he was setting a pattern for disciples after him. And he was very, very concerned that the very first disciples that he wanted to pour everything into was Timothy, and that he would set the right pattern. And of course, Timothy, he was very, very concerned that Timothy would have the strength and have the conviction and boldness to move the ministry forward, because Timothy was of a shyer nature than what Paul was. This one thing you can't describe Paul as is shy. You know, he was very, very bold. And so he's trying to do that. Now, as we came through, all the way through 1 Timothy and all the way through 2 Timothy, you know, the Paul was giving Timothy instructions as far as being bold and being forward and make sure that he's teaching the right doctrine and make sure that he is, when he deals with the church, that the church leadership, very, very important, right, is get the right deacons and right elders, and what's the qualification of a deacon, what's the qualification of an elder, and the fact that he needs to make sure he's more bold than he was being and forward, and not allowing error in the church. So he's going through all these various things. So Paul is coming up to a conclusion here and a summary. And whenever you look at Paul's summary statements, you need to pay attention. What did Paul consider the most important things? So we come up here in chapter 3, 2 Timothy 10 through 15, to Paul's summary statement. He says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord, delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." There's another one of those Pauline infamous run-on sentences. It goes on and on and on. So Paul set the pattern for Timothy. Notice the first thing he says. Timothy had traveled with Paul many years, right? It wasn't like Timothy had taken a class. That's what we do today, right? We take classes. Well, this was Paul traveling, Timothy traveling with him, over watching Paul, listening to Paul, and over and over, and he saw Paul's life, he heard his teachings, He noted his reactions to adversity. He observed his consistency, his walk. He says, now, Timothy, I want you to notice that. I want you, you saw in me, not that Paul was boasting. He was just saying, listen, you saw how not only did I continually, consistently teach what was right, but when opposed, I stood up and endured it, and you saw how I endured that, how I moved forward, and did not waver in my walk and my faith. So it was Paul's life, you know, Paul's teachings, Paul's reactions, Paul's consistent walk that he wanted Timothy to pick up on, so that Timothy not only might learn, so he might teach others as well. See, that's the point. Now, Paul gave Timothy a pattern in three areas. He says, number one, I gave you right teaching, right doctrine. Everything begins with knowing what's right. You can't do what's right unless you what? Unless you know what's right, okay? You can't do what's right unless you know what's right. And so you heard my doctrine. By the way, the word doctrine is literally a word which means proper teaching. That's all it means. You know, those things that are taught, you know, those things that are believed. Secondly, he said, you watched my manner of life, my character. You saw that my character lined up with my teachings. Now, quite often, we were talking about that this morning in a 10 o'clock service, quite often a biblical characters didn't exactly line up with their teachings, right? Their character wasn't where it should be as men or women who represented God. And so he said, you saw my character, my manner of life. I did not waver. Notice he said, I did not waver my purpose. You know, that's why, Henry, I had you read that. He said, it kept its eye on the mark. It kept pressing forward, right? Secondly, yeah, my faith did not waver. My love for those people I was teaching, my perseverance did not waver. And I want you to notice that I did not back away. And that's what, remember, Paul is concerned about Timothy. He said, I don't want you to back away. Timothy, again, you know, he said, you haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of love and a power of sound mind. I don't want you to be afraid, even though you're being opposed. Now, I want you to notice the third thing, teaching his character and his endurance. Paul mentions three times the word persecution in this passage, because persecution was the most obvious thing that was the reaction to Paul's teaching and his life. And so Paul, you know, if you stand up and you're going to proclaim Christ, you're going to be opposed. So Paul remained faithful under this persecution, under afflictions. He did not waver, he did not back away. They, you know, I've heard people over the years say, well, this isn't worth it, I didn't sign up for this, and they back away. Well, you know, trials will test you, and it'll see where your faith really is. Trials does not produce faith. It demonstrates where your faith is. You have to realize that. You know, if you grow in your trials, your faith can grow. But trials by themselves cannot produce faith in you. Or it cannot produce in you consistency. It only reveals what you really are. And if you're going to, so you got to decide during the trials and persecution and opposition whether you're going to stay faithful or you're going to back away. So Paul is saying here, listen, during, you saw me, you watched me, Timothy, during my trials, during the persecution, that I stayed faithful, right? I stayed true. Paul had a very high sense of purpose and calling, did not allow anything to sidetrack him from this goal. Now, by the way, you will not stay true, right, in your walk unless you have a good sense of purpose. Why am I doing this, right? Why am I heading this way? You know, and if you say, I know that the Lord has given me this purpose and this direction, I'm going to stay faithful in it because I know that he's the one not only calling me, but he's the one leading me. And you'll be rewarded, by the way, at the very end to staying faithful in serving the Lord. And so that's exactly what Paul said. You saw that in me, that I pressed on. I kept my eye on the goal. By the way, Paul, you know, William Barclay, in his commentary, says Paul always lived in four time zones. He lived in past, present, future, and eternal. And it says that he never disconnected the present from the eternal. I like that. You know, in other words, it didn't matter what the past, he forgot to sing to the past, right? He kept pressing on. It doesn't matter what the future held. He just knew where his Lord was, and it was in eternity. And he kept his eye on the eternal, that everything he did in the present was connected to the eternal. And so Paul kept that in mind, kept the goal. Paul was so certain of his calling that he refused to allow any uncertainty, opposition, bodily weakness to interfere with his task. And by the way, that's why he's kept emphasizing this with Timothy. He says, you know, you can't allow your doubts, right? Or you can't allow your weaknesses to interfere with your calling. It's about you got to get through these things, right? You got to get through it, you know. You know, there's a saying in football, fatigue make weak men of us all. And so you got to get through the spiritual fatigue and continue to move forward in the Lord. And that's what I said. So circumstances will only confirm whether you are true to your calling or not. It will not produce your calling. And so Paul, through adverse circumstances, remained faithful. Now, that's why he kept telling Timothy, listen, I want you to note this. I want you to notice how I'm doing this. Because remember, Timothy was his main apprentice, right? He was the one that he was teaching to do these things. And so Paul wanted to instill in Timothy. Now, I want you to notice here in this passage, there's a certain sense of urgency here. Because Paul knows his time is running short, and Timothy, you got it. And as soon as Paul ends here, there's no more he can tell Timothy. Because it's very shortly after he finishes this book that he's martyred. And so he said, this is my final shot, right? This is my final instructions to you. And so he said, what you need to understand, by the way, most believers waffle and doubt and distraction. You know, James said that a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. You know, he's blown about by every wind of doctrine. He says, you can't afford that. Can't afford to have this instability, this going back and forth. He said, you've got to be true to what your calling is. And a lot of people are distracted by that. A lot of people are very self-focused. What do I get out of that, this, and my living today? And so self-focus can never be allowed to distract you from being God-oriented. And you're either going to be self-focused or focused on the Lord, not both. And so what is your calling? Are you secure as a servant of God? You know, the highest title you can have is servant of the living God. That's the highest title you can have. You might be a manager here on this earth. You might be an officer. You might be whatever. Those aren't high callings. The highest calling is servant of the living God. That's the highest calling you ever have. And so just a servant. And so the need to make sure that the things of this earth are put in its right place. That somehow that you're focused on what the Lord wants you to do. You're not really focusing on, I want this and I want this and I. You know, you can tell someone who's full of himself by how many times they use the word I. I and me and this and everything else. And so, you know, how is it about us? Is it about the Lord? It's about me, right? We've got to be careful what we do. So unlike Paul, most believers feel sorry for themselves when things go bad. They say, well, I think I'll quit. And sorry for themselves. You know, remember what Paul Tripp said after his, Dr. Tripp, after his first pastorate. It was a disaster. By the way, first pastors usually are. And he was going to quit and put in his resignation. And he said, the oldest elder was waiting for him on the porch as he's locking up the church. He says, young man, I want you to unresign. He said, no, I already put my resignation. I've had it. He says, listen, young man, if we can't put up with foolish young pastors, when are we going to get the wise older pastors? He unresigned. The chairman of the elder board said, well, this is unusual. He said, but he's stuck in there, and today he is known as the pastor to pastors. And so, kind of a weird mustache. But anyway, that's another issue. Looks like a caterpillar. Anyway, go online and look up Paul Tripp. You see some weird mustache there. Anyway, but that's true. It's not, you know when it's time to quit? When the Lord says it is. When the Lord says, okay, it's time. You know, or it's time to go do something else. But we don't decide that if we're called of Him. And so Paul is very concerned, Timothy, I don't want you to quit, right? I don't want you to back away. It's a fact I want you to press on. And so he says, you must understand that you're not to sit there feeling sorry for yourself. So I don't have this, I don't have that. Bemoan, I'm lacking this and this necessity. And I need this and I need that. No, we just need the Lord to lead us. So to Paul, all afflictions of life are to be expected. He told the Romans in Romans 8, he says, I count all the afflictions and trials as nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in me. He said, Timothy, what do you expect? I told you in this world you're going to have these persecutions and tribulation. And he says, we have to understand that these are necessary things. Matter of fact, that's exactly what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4. Says, why do you act like the fiery trials has come on you as something that's abnormal? I mean, if you're going to serve the Lord, these things are to be expected. So Paul uses his own experience as an example. He said, don't you remember Acts chapter 13? He says that when I was in Antioch, I was having a successful ministry. And, of course, when I was having a successful ministry, the Jews got upset, and they caused a riot and everything else, and I was kicked out of Antioch. By the way, this is Antioch of Pisidia. So there was two Antiochs, one in Syria, that where he's, you know, taken out. This is Antioch of Pisidia. And he's kicked out. So where does he go? He goes over to the next city, to Iconium. And guess what? They followed him over there, and they caused a riot in Iconium. And so it says even amongst the noble women, and they were causing problems. So Paul left Iconium. He went to Lystra. And in Lystra, there was a man who was crippled. Remember the man who was crippled? And he says, in the name of Jesus, you know, I command you stand and walk. And the guy's legs were restored. But they were in the area that's known as Galatia. And the people in the local town didn't speak Greek. So they spoke the Galatians, Gaulese. And so they were saying that Paul was Mercury, and that Barnabas was Jupiter, and then they were going to make a sacrifice to him. And Paul understood, he tried to stop them, and for his efforts, he was stoned and left for dead. And as the disciples were standing over him, the Lord revived him. He stands up. He said, I'm not dead yet. You know, he went in and finishes his ministry in Lystra. But you see, all those ministries were successful, but it was full of persecution. He said, don't you remember that I went through this? And I'm sure Timothy's thinking, I don't want to go through that. But you see, he said, don't you understand that this is part of the calling? And so Paul noted three things. He said, I want to instill in Timothy. He said, listen, number one, you're going to have to endure persecution. He said, I endured it. Persecution is part of those. If you're going to be a testament for Christ, there are people who are not going to like that, right? If you're going to be a testimony, people aren't going to like that. So he said, listen, three times he mentions the word persecution. Secondly, I want you to notice that God delivered me out of each one of these persecutions. You're going to go home when the Lord says it's time to go. So whatever persecution you go through, if the Lord's not done with you yet, he's going to send you through those, right? He's going to carry you through those. It's the Lord determines when the time is up. Thirdly, he says, those who seek to live godly lives will be persecuted. It's part of the life. It's part of the rebellious nature of man. If you're going to stand up for what is right, there's people who are going to hate you for that. And quite often, even in your own family. So if you're going to stand up for righteousness, you're going to stand up for the Word of God, you're going to stand up for Jesus, people are not going to like that. But it says, I want you to stand. You want a testimony, because, you know, darkness hates what? Hates light. And if you shine a light on them, we're the light of the what? Light of the world. If you shine a light on darkness, they're not going to like that. And Paul says, I want you to expect this, Timothy, that when you shine forth the light of Jesus Christ on the darkness of men, they're not going to like that. And so, and I don't have time to go down the road. You know what's happening today. The promotion of perversion is so wicked, so evil. People hate those who stand up for what's right. I mean, a coach stands up and says, you know, this guy who's in the, you know, in the women's shower room, and they suspended the coach. Said the women, said the girls can go use the regular bathroom in the hallway. Well, no, they can't take a shower in that bathroom. I mean, they're trying to groom our children to be homosexuals, lesbians. They're teaching our young people that just by being born a certain way that, you know, you are full of hate and you're prejudiced. They promote lawlessness. There's a family whose 15-year-old was killed by a 14-year-old in the county this past summer. And his punishment was 3 years of home detention. People committing murder, thrown out in the streets, right back out in the street. And the end times is going to grow what? Worse and worse. If you're going to stand in the light, what do you think they're going to think about you if you're going to stand up for what's right? So Paul's telling, listen, Timothy, no matter what happens, you got to stand for what's right. It doesn't matter what they're going to do to you, as long as you are pointing to Christ and upholding the Christian walk, the Lord's going to take care of all that. And so, Timothy, I want you to be strengthened in this. And so, Paul states, as he's previously stated, that men are going to get increasingly worse. The opposition will be more violent and more persistent. There will be many imposters and deceivers and wicked, and the wickedness will go into astounding proportions. And believers are to stand firm in the face of these threats and must not allow the ministry to be silent. Our tendency is, okay, I think I'll just go hide in the closet. The redeemed of the Lord must say so. Ephesians 5:11 is important. It says that we are to stand up and rebuke those things that they do in darkness. This is important, that we are to stand no matter what the consequences. And so Timothy was admonished to stand firm in the Word of God, no matter what opposition he faced, no matter what his concerns were. He needed to keep an eye on the ball. He needed to keep the eye on the goal. It was important for him to put all doubts away, that the Scriptures would be empowering in him. It was important that he would be resolved in the face of opposition to continue forward and continue to be strengthened and to continue to be a testimony. And it was immaterial how he felt about it. I mean, you ever notice in the Old Testament all the biblical characters, God really didn't care how they felt about it? You know, Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt. Well, I don't want to. Well, that's immaterial. Jonah, why don't you go to Nineveh? I'm going the other way. Oh, no, you're not. You're coming back. He doesn't ask us. You ever notice he doesn't say, okay, I got these five or six tasks I want to do. Pick one. Someone once said, if you want to make God laugh, show him your plans. Time to stand. The Lord asks a question. He says, when he returns, will we find faith on the earth? If he's coming soon, will we find faith amongst us? Now, I doubt if many of us are going to face what Paul faced. But if you're going to live a godly life, you're going to face something. You're going to face opposition. And Timothy is told that he knows what's right. He knows what he believes. He was taught that from the very early on from the scriptures. He saw Paul's faithful service. He is walking in Paul's footsteps, and he walked the way Paul walked. Because Paul was walking the way Jesus walked. This is not hypothetical. This is real. And you know the world's getting worse. Can the Lord count on us to be a light shining on the darkness? And that we're going to rely upon Him to strengthen us, to be that testimony. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. You are the soldiers of the cross. And only those in Christ are the soldiers. There's no one else. Yes, to the battle, to the worship, to the testimony, but also make sure your armor's on, because it also takes strength. That's only in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. The gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time and that we had this morning. We just pray, Lord, as we come to a conclusion here, Lord, that we'll just take note of what Paul said to Timothy, that we might stand in exactly the same way in truth and in justice and in righteousness, Lord. And Lord, that you can count on us, Lord, to be able to uphold that testimony before a lost and dying world that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, as we come to this conclusion, Lord, we just want to honor you in all things through Jesus Christ. Amen.